This is Colorado Matters from Colorado Public Radio. I'm Ryan Warner. On Sunday, Mayor Michael Hancock and others will gather at Bobby Yar Park in southeast Denver. They'll mark the 70th anniversary of one of the most horrific events of World War II, the Bobby Yar Massacre. In September of 1941, Nazi forces slaughtered more than 30,000 Jews in a ravine near the Ukrainian city of Kiev. Many more would die in similar massacres throughout the Soviet Union before the war ended in 1945. University of Colorado history professor David Schneer has written extensively about the Holocaust in the Soviet Union. He's the keynote speaker at Sunday's Bobby Yar Memorial in Denver. David, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Ryan.
You've been to the site of the Bobby Yar massacre. What does it look like?
I mean, I almost hate to say it, but it looks like nothing. It doesn't have that feeling of a memorial space the way many of the other memorial sites that I've visited, like at the Warsaw Ghetto Memorial or other places like concentration camps feel. You ride the metro out to this place, which used to be the middle of nowhere and is now a sort of suburb of the city of Kiev. And you exit the metro, and the only thing that's there, or the first thing that greets you, is a children's memorial. It's not exactly clear whose children these were, what it's memorializing, and there isn't a clear sense of space. And for me, I think one of the most powerful lessons that I had when I got to this place was there's still controversy over whether the memorials that have been established there, and now there are several different memorials depending on who is being memorialized, it's not clear that they are in the actual place where the massacres happened.
And it's not immediately clear that 30,000 people died in this area.
Right, 33,000, actually. And that's actually just on the first 2 days of the massacres. So the story of Baba Yar unfolds rather dramatically. The Germans take over the city September 19th, 1941. The Soviets had left a few partisans behind and basically blew up the center of town to destroy the sort of heart of the city so the Germans wouldn't have it. And the Germans accused the Jews of sabotaging them. And so they ordered all Jews out to this square. And then those Jews who showed up that day, and it turned out there were about 33,000, were marched out of town to this place called Babi Yar and were systematically shot over 2 days. And those 2 days, September 29th and 30th, those dates have become this memorial space on the calendar for memorializing what happened at Babi Yar. Now, that place, Babi Yar, over the whole period of German occupation of Kiev, which lasted 2 years, estimates are more than 100,000 people were killed there at Babi Yar, Jews and others.
I think if you had a list of names and you said Auschwitz and Treblinka and you threw in Babi Yar, a lot of people would be puzzled by the third name.
Yes.
Why isn't this better known?
From my own vantage point, not only do most people not know about Babi Yar, but there's not a lot of memorials to Babi Yar. It hasn't really sort of made it as this iconic site of the Holocaust.
Was this suppressed?
It was suppressed in the Soviet Union. So after Babi Yar was liberated in November 1943, they started investigating what took place there. And it was pretty clear that everybody knew what had happened there. Not just the numbers in the sort of 100,000 range, but also who was killed at Babi Yar. And very shortly after the war, the Soviet government decided that it wasn't going to be good for moving on from the wartime period, which was a pretty horrible trauma for the country, if it obsessed or spent so much time memorializing the Jewish victims of the Holocaust. And in fact, I think pretty famously in the Soviet Union, Khrushchev, when he took power in the 50s, he wanted to build a mall on the site of Babi Yar. And there was local outcry against this building of the mall.
Like a shopping mall?
Like a shopping mall.
Okay.
Not even like a shopping mall.
A shopping mall.
Built on Babi Yar. And there was local outcry because the locals knew what had happened. So just because the government isn't establishing memorials at Babi Yar doesn't mean the locals don't see that space as somehow holy, frankly, or sacred. So it's not until 1961 when this poet, Yevgeny Yevtushenko, breaks open this silence about Babi Yar with his famous poem called Babi Yar. And the opening sentence is, "There is no memorial at Babi Yar." And from that moment on in 61, Dmitri Shostakovich wrote a symphony set to those words. And from that point forward, word about Babi Yar kept increasing and increasing. But the reality was that story was effectively behind the so-called Iron Curtain. So although people in the Soviet Union were knowing about Babi Yar and understood what Babi Yar was, it didn't necessarily make it to the West.
I'd like to talk about any survivors in a moment, but can we listen to that Shostakovich piece together?
Yeah, it's a pretty amazing piece.
Babi
That's Symphony No. 13, also known as the Babi Yar Symphony, from Shostakovich. Were there survivors, people who could talk about this story to the world?
There were survivors of Babi Yar. It didn't necessarily mean, though, that they were talking about their stories. In general, survivors did not talk about their stories widely in the immediate aftermath of the war. Primo Levi famously had trouble getting his Survival in Auschwitz published at all, in Italian or in English. It took him 10 years. So it's probably no surprise that the survivors of Babi Yar also didn't have a platform that people wanted to hear them from. But there were survivors. The stories are pretty famous for how people survived Babi Yar, because it's actually much more difficult to survive a mass shooting campaign. The people who survived tended to fake their own deaths. People would be marched to the edge of a ravine, lined up, and then shot and fell into the ravine. And smart people, I guess, or people who were brave somehow, fell before the shot hit and ended up in this mass pile of the dead and managed to survive by hiding themselves among corpses.
You're listening to Colorado Matters. I'm Ryan Warner. It's been 70 years since the Babi Yar massacre, in which more than 30,000 Jews died over a two-day period at the hands of Nazis. This is near Kiev in Ukraine. Years later, Jews in Denver created a Babi Yar park and memorial in the city. Our guest is David Schneer. He's a history professor at CU, and he'll be delivering remarks this weekend at the park to mark the 70th anniversary. David, you've got a new book. It's called Through Soviet Jewish Eyes, Photography, War, and the Holocaust. That's also the title of a photo exhibition on display at the CU Art Museum. Were massacres or massacre sites like Babi Yar documented by photographers?
Yes, they were actually extensively documented by photographers. So the way the Soviet Union handled Nazi atrocities, which is what they would have been called at the time, it wasn't called the Holocaust until much later, they actually set up research teams called extraordinary commissions to create systematic ways of documenting war crimes, effectively. I actually like to think about these scenes as crime sites. And the Soviet Liberating Army brought a whole team of forensic researchers to each of these sites. And we have to think of the magnitude of what we're talking about here. So every city in Ukraine has its Babi Yar, or its even the word Yar, which means ravine in Russian. The word Yar became so laden with Nazi atrocities that poets would actually use the word Yar, or ravine, to signal Nazi atrocities, in the same way that the word camp in English has that Holocaust echo to it. The research teams, the forensic research teams, would show up to a site, normally a day or two after the army liberated it, and they would often find an empty space. That was, to me, one of the most shocking things when I started doing this research, coming across these files, was that the first photograph was always called a general view. And the general view was essentially the untouched crime scene, and it was an empty ravine. You would never know that this is a crime scene. And then the researchers would start digging because they actually knew what the Germans were doing, which was marching people to the outskirts of town, shooting them en masse, and burying the dead. And they frequently found the remnants of people as they started investigating. Once they found remnants of the crime, they actually brought forensic scientists in to determine who died and how people died. But photographers were with them the entire step of this research process.
And you've got those documentary-style photographs in the show, but there are also more stylized images, I guess I'd say. We're looking at one now. What are we seeing?
So the photograph you're looking at now is called Grief by Dmitry Baltermans. And if you look at this image, you see wailing women in a field of what, from a distance, you can't actually tell what's going on. And then when you approach the image, and the image we have up in the gallery is blown up huge scale, when you get closer, you have this haunting realization of what you're looking at.
These are women mourning over bodies.
Mourning over their husbands' bodies.
And what site is this?
The photograph Grief was at the site of Kerch. It's in the southern part of Russia. An unknown site. When I use this image, no one has ever heard of Kerch, unless you're from the Soviet Union. But it is the classic site of what we now call the Holocaust by bullets, or the Holocaust not in concentration camps, but in these ravines, these pits, like Babi Yar.
How did you get a hold of this photograph?
Well, when I started working on this project 8 years ago, someone told me, you got to meet this family in Denver. Their names are the Harbaughs, and I think they have some Soviet photography that might be of interest to you. And so 8 years ago, I went to the Harbaughs and discovered one of the most incredible collections of Soviet photography here in Denver. And among their material, and we're talking hundreds of thousands of images, we found a lot of photographs that I knew I was going to want to use in the book. When we decided that we wanted to turn this into an exhibition up at the CU Art Museum, I approached them and asked them if they would be interested in lending material for the show. And in fact, every single piece that is in the show up at the CU Art Museum came from this local Denver family.
How does Denver have a Bobby Yar park?
It started in the 1960s when in the United States, there were Save Soviet Jewry movements popping up all over the country. And here in Denver, we had a very powerful chapter. This group here, the Save Soviet Jewry movement, put a petition before the Denver City Council in the 1960s to create a memorial space named after Baba Yar. And they were doing this also in the wake of the Yevtushenko poem and the Shostakovich symphony that had been circulating. What's, I think, very compelling is that the Denver City Council agreed to do this and actually in 1971 named this remote park, which has been likened to the topography or the geography of Baba Yar itself, at the edge of Denver near Aurora, as a city park called Baba Yar Park. Now, it didn't become a memorial site, an actual memorial with places to go memorialize until 1983.
You'll speak at the park Sunday at a commemoration ceremony marking the 70th anniversary of the massacre. And I wonder if you might leave us with a preview of what you'll talk about.
So the 70th anniversary felt like a very weighty date for me. And also doing the research for this speech that I'm supposed to be giving on Sunday, it's also the 40th anniversary of the park. So there's a lot to be both memorializing and frankly celebrating that Denver is this place that was very early on in creating Holocaust memorial sites. So I'm particularly interested in why the word Auschwitz resonates for so many Americans, where the word Baba Yar does not. And one of the things I want to talk about on Sunday is how this story of what has come to be called the Holocaust by bullets is not well known in the West. And it's not just in the West, it's also in Europe, in a place like Israel, where Auschwitz and concentration camps are the signifier of the Holocaust. When we actually do the number crunching about the Holocaust, it's estimated that about a third of Holocaust victims were killed in places like Baba Yar, in places throughout the Ukraine and Belarus, in forests, in ravines, in anti-tank trenches, and it gets more horrifying even than that. I think most people don't know about that. Most people, when they think of the Holocaust, think trains, they think camps, they think chimneys. They don't think beautiful landscapes, empty forests, and ravines, the way the Baba Yar Park Memorial here does.
That's David Schneer. He's a history professor at CU Boulder. He's also director of CU's program in Jewish Studies. The Baba Yar commemoration is Sunday at 11 a.m. at Baba Yar Park. David Schneer's new book is called Through Soviet Jewish Eyes, Photography, War, and the Holocaust. That's also the title of a photo exhibition now on display at the CU Art Museum.